Coming up next on KSCO, hour number one of the Saturday special, filling in for MZ, Christine Kraft.
Good morning, a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
I'm Christine Kraft, rocking the boat while MZ's away on the Saturday special. Stay tuned.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
And good morning to you. I'm Christine Kraft, and I've got metadata. Sort of funny. Did you know that word before all of this revelations of the fact that the government is collecting metadata and then going through it if they have sort of something shy of probable cause to look at it and the big scandal, et cetera. I've got metadata. I didn't know I had any, but I do. I'm generating it, or I have been at least. I'm feeling a little naked today, even with my metadata, because my computer died last night, and I'm someone who's frequently saying, can just imagine not being connected for a day, a two or a week, and how hard could that be? And you sort of reestablish connections with people directly as opposed to the computer. And so my computer dies last night, and I'm feeling naked. I miss it so much because, like many of us, I rely on it for many things. Less than some, but enough, certainly. Two big words of the year, metadata and transparency. Two concepts, I guess, metadata, the real deal, and transparency, which is an odd word when you consider that no government ever in the history of governments has ever been utterly transparent, nor would you want it to be. You want some transparency, but not total transparency. The idea that people who are elected to office take an oath to be transparent. Just think about your own life. Aren't there certain things you'd like to keep under wraps? I certainly hope so. You don't want to be quite that transparent. So, of course, the ongoing story of the young man who was didn't graduate from high school but had some computer skills, ended up working for the CIA and then for this contractor for the CIA, and we'll call him the leaker. He feels that he is a self-appointed arbiter of what can and can't harm the United States, and this sort of this inquiry both about Edward Snowden, the fellow whose whereabouts are unknown to me and possibly to you, I guess so, because he leaked. And Attorney General Eric Holder says the guy, you know, he's a leaker. He needs some depends. No, he says national security has been damaged, the Attorney General says, and because Mr. Snowden just decided, even though he had taken, you know, agreed to keep classified information classified. My question is, how does somebody like this get access to, how does somebody like Edward Snowden or Bradley Manning have access to classified material in the first place without better vetting? And another inquiry, and you feel free to call in on any of this for the next 2 hours on the Saturday special. The phone number is, as always, in Santa Cruz, 831 is the area code, 479-1080. 831, the area code, 479-1080. And I will put you on the air, and we will duke it out or agree or whatever happens. So your sense of, do you feel violated because you know the government now is collecting metadata and is not transparent? Or do you think, you know, this has probably been going on for a long time. It actually has. I remember talking about this story on a radio station in San Francisco probably 5 or 6 years ago. And there was a story, the Electronic Freedom Frontier, what's it called, Freedom Foundation, whatever. And they do a lot of protect whistleblowers, and they had a guy who said, look, I worked for AT&T in this building in San Francisco, and they were collecting metadata, everybody's phone calls, stuff they put on the computer, et cetera, et cetera. Look, is anyone really surprised at this? And if you are, if you thought that the things that you were saying on the phone or the things you were writing on your computer were sacred, sacrosanct, and not seen by anyone other than those you intended to see it, I guess you would be shocked at this point. Or let me know. I mean, Dan, if you go to the supermarket, of course you do. And if you have a supermarket that has one of these, they call it different things, rewards card, market club, whatever, and you sign up and you get on this list, they give you a little card so that every time you go to the market and you buy your groceries and you check out, and if certain items are specially reduced for people who hold one of these cards, and you think, well, what could be so wrong with that? You know, I mean, do you do that? Because, I mean, don't most people do that? Because you figure, I don't want to spend more money than I have to. That's sort of a basic common sense point of view. When they ask me to join up in their little clubs, and I go to a market that has one of them, it's the Bel Air Raley's Knob Hill group, I always say no thank you. And they look at me like I'm crazy. And every single time I'm in the line at the grocery, and I know all the checkers because I've been going there for years, are you sure you don't want to belong to the club? Are you sure you don't want to sign up for this thing? No, thank you. And every time I say, they say, well, why? And I say, because I don't want to be part of your data bank. That's all. I should say your metadata bank. Because when you sign up for one of those things, they track all of your purchases. Now, some things you may be proud to be buying. Fresh salmon and a nice melon. Okay. But say you buy a lot of, I don't know, stuff for an upset tummy, and you have frequent bouts of indigestion, or frequent purchases of itch cream, or frequent purchases of processed foods, and pretty much everything in the supermarket is processed foods these days. So they keep all this information. You think, well, what harm could that be? I like bonbons. I buy a lot of bonbons. Not me personally, but I'm just saying, say you're a person who buys bonbons, for want of another expression, bonbons. And I have this rewards card or this special club card, and my supermarket cares about me. We really care, and they give me a little card with a flower on it, and they know my name and everything. So when they send me that special, because I've given them a lot of information about myself, I've given them my address, I've given them my phone number, I've given them, oh gosh, whatever they ask for, pretty much, to get that special card so I can get that discount. And so they send, and I've given them my email. Okay, and then they've asked me to pick a password. Well, most people, truth be told, use the same password for everything, don't they? I mean, they don't mean to, but it's like, I can't remember all these passwords. I'm going to use my same old password or just a slight variation. So pretty soon, you have an eminently, you've given people you don't know a whole lot of information that they have no right to, and what they use it for, they'll say, oh, no, we don't collect. Yes, they do collect that information. And yes, they do sell it to someone like, oh, I don't know, an insurance company. Let's talk about Anthem Blue Cross, very much in the news this past week with ACE Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones saying, you know, I don't think they should be able to be one of the insurance companies that offers an insurance plan under the Affordable Care Act, because they're not playing fair. The insurance commissioner in California has no right, no powers, that is, to limit what health insurers can charge. He'd like to have that power. He should have that power. But just supposing, I don't know, Market X, a big market chain, sells your data, your metadata about what you eat and what you buy. I think that's kind of personal, don't you? And we just heard last week that credit cards that were used and debit cards that were used at some of these markets were hacked. The information was hacked. Boy, that feels great. It makes you just want to pay for everything with cash and not even tell them who you are, right? Of course, they're probably photographing you. I find that incredibly intrusive, so I don't want to do it. So what could happen? So the market could sell your information about what you buy and when, not just so they can send you a little email that says, bonbons are on sale for you especially this week because you're a member of our club. And you're going to go in there and buy that. They're going to sell the information about what it is you buy and how often you buy it. Oh, I need that Metamucil. I don't, but I mean, if you did. Sell that to the insurance company. So when the insurance company goes to insure you, they look at the fact that you've got some repeated visits for a substance which indicates you may have less than perfect health. Okay? An employer might be able to tap into that information if it's sold to the right person, right? And say, so-and-so is says they're not a smoker. I don't want smokers in the workplace, but look, this person is buying cartons of cool cigarettes, generically cool cigarettes, all the time. Therefore, that person probably has some health risk issues. Maybe I won't hire that person. So you see it all plays out in an interesting way. Are you hideously shocked and offended by the fact that the government is collecting information with the arguable goal to protect security? Again? Yes, let's go to the phones right now, because let me give you the number again, 831-479-1080. To whom am I speaking?
Christine.
Yes.
JT, how are you?
Hi, JT. I'm well. I'm naked, though, without my computer, I must say.
Oh, gosh, I can appreciate that. Listen, I'm a fan, and I've listened to your shows. We've interacted before on the phone. I believe we were talking about primates last time, but let's get to the new point. Call me a throwback. I'm 56, so I was the
throwback. Duck and cover. No, just kidding.
Yeah, yeah, duck and cover generation. You know, under the desk and all that.
Exactly.
So, but fortunately for me, I had a lot of input from my grandfather, who instilled in me how important the basic laws of the country are. And these aren't the laws that the senators and the congressmen make, and these aren't the executive orders that the president makes, and these aren't the things that FEMA says we should do or the TSA we should do. These are the basic laws of the country, and the basic laws of the country
is
thou shalt not infringe upon a human being considered a king in his own home without proper authorization, that being a warrant sworn by an officer for the objects that should be searched. And
describing in specificity the items to be seized.
That's exactly right. Thank you very much. And so the other thing is, when I'm talking on the phone to my mom, and when I'm talking on the phone to my brother, and when I'm talking on the phone to my friend, I may say some pretty damn inflammatory stuff.
Who, you? Really? Well, I'd never do anything like that. Don't you just know sort of collectively the whole country that hooked onto this story that was surprised by it went, oh, my God, what was it exactly that I said about my pot stash or some other thing, or trying to undercut some relative in a state dispute? Or, you know, what did I say? Did I make an actual threat against someone? Is somebody listening? Did I use one of the 10 words that sort of kicks the algorithm in to discover who what I'm saying and what I'm talking about,
please,
et cetera?
Please, Christine, thou shalt not use the words with me. Thank you very much. Anyway, I just wanted to say, you've heard the frog in the boiling water, you turn it up slow, and I hear you speak. You're very intelligent. I totally respect you and your point of view, but I think what you're conducting here is from your perspective, of course, and your opinion, which
I... And I'm older than you are, so maybe I'm just used to being disappointed.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We shouldn't be putting up with any of this. And the person who told us about PRISM and told us about... Uh-oh, that's one of the words.
Oh, my God. Hey, but listen, our phone call, our discussion here, because we were using the words and they're collecting metadata, we're doing it metadata.
Yeah.
We're very transparent because we're on the broadcast airwave.
Yes,
so we're not trying to hide anything.
Okay.
PRISM.
Well, anyway, the person
PRISM.
Who disclosed that, you see, what a lot of us get mixed up in is between duty and respect for the vows you make when you take your office, whether it's a police officer or a soldier or something else.
Yeah.
And you look back to Nazi Germany and the people who followed their duty and
did
what their officer said.
And I don't
want to
say they. I don't want to say
no,
they
no.
did their
they
duty.
Hung them. They hung them by the neck until dead.
And I don't want to say anybody did their duty, because we'll get the wrong topic there.
Well, exactly. But they killed. You did this. You followed orders to kill people. You did this. Well, this guy who went against the grain, and I don't know anything more about him except for what the press has told me. And you know the press.
And what does the press know? Some folks are digging to find out more about who he is, obviously.
Well,
but let me ask you this one thing, though. I mean, I get that, and I really...
And now that you're older, I'll say yes, ma'am.
You bet. but what would you say if I said to you, okay, Edward Snowden, Bradley Manning, kind of similar in a certain sense, both releasing classified information that they were sworn not to release. Here's the problem I have. Who decides? In other words, they say, well, in Bradley Manning's case, for example, nothing he released hurt anyone. Well, we wouldn't know that either, would we, if it did or didn't. In fact, some of the cables that were in there were from now deceased ambassador to Libya, who was killed, of course. They were cables that he had sent to the State Department about the growing al-Qaeda presence around Benghazi. Some of those cables were released also. What makes Bradley Manning or Edward Snowden the proper person to determine what will and what can and what cannot actually hurt the country? In other words, that line between revealing something that we need to discuss nationally and deal with as opposed to revealing something that really does hurt our security. The world is a very hostile place.
Are you ready?
Yes.
This is going to be one of those words.
I think.
This is going to be one of those words. Okay, here we go. Our government has assumed too much, too secretive, too powerful, too controlling of a posture, okay? Our government, in the interest of, and I'm putting this in quotes, safety, to, quotes again.
Book 'em, Dano.
quotes again, protect us from the terrorists, has assumed so much power over us, and has actually taken away the rights that we have earned. And I don't know about you, Christine, but my family came here in 1750, so my family fought in the Revolution. I mean, I'm a son of the daughters of the Revolution.
May I brag for just a moment? I'm a daughter of 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 the Confederacy who founded Jamestown, Virginia. How's that on my dad's
side?
Well,
there you go. And you know what? I have respect for the points of view that for the Confederacy, but I wish they didn't have to do what they did. So
there's nothing either one of us can do about that. I wonder if Confederacy is one of the secret words.
Yeah. Okay. So my last
prism.
Last little spiel here is we are the people who elect these servants. These are not the officials. These are the servants who serve us, and they go up to Washington, and they get in this crystal cavern where the wings of the angels sprout from their arms, and they give us all kinds of bull crap, and they come back and beg
okay,
us for money.
Agree, but let me ask you this. Do you think there's any country in the world who has the capability to do what's being done here wouldn't do it? And my argument isn't that that makes everything right. I'm just saying there's a world in which, for example, China is slathering. It is the big rally today in support of this fellow. They want him to defect to China and give China
That's
all
right.
kinds
okay.
of U.S. secrets. Is that a good thing? I don't think so.
Yes. Here you go.
China. Prism.
If our country wants to spy on China, if our country wants to do, like, viruses or whatever to China, I really don't give a crap. Go for it. Hit them hard. Do what you got to do. They're our biggest trading partner. They're spending more money on the United States. They're where we get most of our loans to run our country, except for what we're printing in Washington, $80 billion a month. And so the bottom line is, if you want to go for someone else, go with it. And you want to go for some people who call overseas, by all means, they're calling Kuwait or they're calling Yemen or they're
What if they're American citizens who are calling Yemen frequently?
Well,
do you want to track them down?
If you're an American citizen calling outside of the United States, there's a gray area there. But you know what? Me talking to my mom, me talking to my brother.
But see, they're not because arguably they would say, look, we're not interested in that conversation. We would need they have these algorithms, they look for certain words, and since you use those kinds of words all the time, they probably did. And then they have to go to the FISA court. They don't need probable cause, which they would need for a warrant. They need something less than probable cause. FISA court says secretly, sure, go for it, and then they listen to your conversation with your mother
But here's two things. First, they record everything, Christine. They have Googles of information or whatever they're called.
But so do businesses.
I know. I understand that. But what's happening
You want the businesses to have more information than the government does?
Business? You mean as in AT&T and Yahoo?
Well, I mean anything, even the supermarket model.
The supermarket. You signed up for that. I'm not signing up
I didn't. For I didn't sign up for it. I said no. They kept saying, don't you want
yeah,
it?
Me
don't
too.
You want it? No.
You know what? All cash, all the time.
Do you know, I honestly think now that my computer's dead and I have a small little cache of cash, I'm thinking maybe this is the way to go.
Let me just clue you real quick, Christine. I know I'm running long. If you buy a Windows 8 computer, prepare to give Google, Microsoft, a.k.a. the U.S. government, and everything else, all your emails, all your passwords, all your everything, because you cannot even log on to the thing until you've – my wife just bought one.
And, oh, my God.
And it's like – and it wants to know your mother's maiden name before you can even open the start screen.
So you, could you make up a name like Schmedley?
No, you can make up a name like load Windows XP on it and wipe that Windows 8 off the drive.
Oh, my God. Because I just looked at the Costco, you know, computers they have for sale because I want a cheap, you know, just desktop
for
my studio.
Sure, reasonable. Yeah.
And they're all, every single one of them is Windows 8. I don't want Windows 8. And now I really don't want it.
You know why they're Windows 8? The same reason why Windows is successful. The same reason why Google is successful. Because people don't understand that Google belongs to the government. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist.
No.
Microsoft belongs to the government. And all these things, well, we don't have taps and we don't give information. They have to say that because they're secret orders.
Exactly.
Secret court orders.
They're saying it with their fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, if they say, no, we don't have it, they can't tell the truth because they're under a secret court order.
Not to tell the truth. I love you,
too.
You
have a wonderful day. Good luck on your computer, sir.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye, sweetie.
I'll have to find one that's, I guess, Windows 7. Oh, no. Yes, we have the Windows 7 model, but that's $900. Pardon me? Let's get another caller. And, of course, the phone number is, should you want to partake in this, 831-479-1080. Who's up next? Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Go ahead, Jay. Hello. I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you remember when our grandparents was, you know, the local, city controlled everything, and the police department and all that.
Yeah, but they didn't record grandma's phone calls to her bookie.
Oh, I know that.
your grandmother used a bookie too, huh?
Technology's coming about where, you know, they can centralize and group together.
Yeah.
And make one big organized.
I think you're right. And I think I love our last caller. I took all of his points, but one thing he didn't mention is the fact that it is a different world in which, privacy sort of has to be redefined. Or, I mean, I don't know. How do you do things with any sort of privacy in a world that's highly controlled, you know, run by computers? I'm talking today about not having mine and how naked I feel. And I'm someone who's always saying, let's just not use them for a day or two and see how life goes. Yeah, right, until it happens to me. So you're right, you have a completely different world. And so it is a real conundrum. But it has a lot of room for not such good things to happen, things that do violate our civil rights. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because people on the right have been arguing for years, people who are not just on the right or the left, whatever, who are opposed to abortion rights, for example, in Roe v. Wade. They have argued that there is no fundamental right to privacy. That's what supports, that's the Roe versus Wade decision, which says there's a fundamental penumbra of privacy rights. Those the folks who are opposed to abortion on that issue say, well, there is no right to privacy. And so we have the conflict of a lot of ideals, a lot of politics fueling it. So you're not at all disturbed by what's going on?
Well, no, I'm disturbed just like a lot of other people. I'm 62 years old, but I mean, you know, look at it this way. You know, it's like the media. You know, they edit things, just like the government edit things.
Mm-hmm.
They only want to tell you what they want you to know. And it starts from, you know, elementary school up.
Well, that's true in a certain way. The schools only teach you part of things. The media, of course, edits for a lot of reasons. One of them, and I've been in the media for a long time, so sometimes there is a corporation which is buying advertising time on your TV or radio station, so you're going to soft pedal a story that might make them look bad. I mean, that happens all the time. Or you're just a reporter who's got a great breaking story, and the news director says, well, you know, I'm only going to give you a minute 30, so you've got to edit down, or 90 seconds, you've got to edit down the story and leave out some of the complicated stuff. So, yeah, there is a lot of editing that goes on. Politicians only tell you what they want you to think of them, and we'll talk about some of that a little bit later. So, I don't know. I guess the only real privacy is the privacy you have with the computer turned off, the phone off, you know, off the hook, and your smart meter watching you. Just kidding. Pardon me?
They got a little black box years back. They used to put in people's phones, a brown box, that if you have it hanged up, they can still hear you. You got it off the hook, they can still hear you, what you're saying in your house.
Well, you know what's interesting? I have a studio, a radio studio, in my home. It's this one room. It's all my equipment. It's really great.
Yeah.
But if I don't turn off the connection, that engineer could hear me say all kinds of things. So I have to make sure it's disconnected, if you get my drift.
Anymore,
is anybody listening? Thanks for the call, Jay. You bet. Okay, the phone number is, if you'd like to call in, 831-479-1080. It's the Saturday special. And let's go to King City and talk to Jim. Hi, Jim.
Christina, you know, you're in luck.
Why?
You know, your broken down computer?
Yeah.
For $50 or a subpoena, the NSA should be able to recover everything for you.
You're so funny. That's classic. I just read a story about some guy in a criminal case is going, okay, I was doing so-and-so, and I can't prove it, but the NSA can, by golly. And he's actually, I forget what state it's in. I just looked at it briefly and went, oh, isn't that interesting? That's a good argument that you would make in front of the judge. You know, judge, I have exculpatory evidence, and it is possessed by the NSA, and let's get a subpoena for it. You're absolutely right. Should I give him a call now or after the show?
Let me tell you why this metadata and all of this recording is so dangerous.
Okay.
First off, the metadata is the stuff that they really want. They don't really want your phone conversations because it's extremely expensive to have somebody listen to
and
it.
And they couldn't. It would be too much volume. There would be no way to listen to every phone call.
The metadata is stuff that is searchable. With metadata, they can find all of your connections, all of your links to everybody else, completely figure out what is your relationship to every other person in the world with a simple computer program. Well, not simple. It's a complex algorithm, but it's there, and it can be run across the board. Now, if you ever did something wrong and they went and they decided that they wanted to wiretap you, they would go to a judge, and they would ask for a wiretap, and then they would start recording everything that you said from then on.
And they'd be
right
listening.
Now, they have everything from 2007 that you said. And so they can, if they subpoena that record, they can go back the last 7 years and listen to everything you said in the last 7 years. So that makes everybody a pre-criminal.
Maybe we should do a demonstration where we all dress up like mimes, you know, with those striped shirts. And go march on Washington, but be very, very quiet and not say anything.
Somebody said that if you have nothing to hide, you have no reason to fear the extremely large, intrusive government information gathering.
And that's an old argument, and it's never quite right.
That the government has gone to extreme extent to keep hidden from you.
But let me ask you the question I've been asking all morning, and that is, because companies can already collect all kinds of stuff on you, and they're privy to all sorts of information about you. For example, the example I cited with the grocery card, et cetera. Why would you want the government to have, shall we say, less access to information about you than all sorts of companies can have?
Because Safeway doesn't carry around guns, and they don't have the IRS.
Thank you very much. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here with all of this. Maybe Bill and Carmel knows. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
You're a lawyer, aren't you?
I am.
Okay, well, I sent out an email last night, and I'll let you know what it is.
Yeah, because I can't get it. So.
Yeah, but it's got some, I heard there was an interview that was carried on your radio station. You carry Coast to Coast with George Norrie, right?
Absolutely, yes. I listened to part of that show last night, and then I went to bed around midnight, so I didn't hear the whole thing.
Well, I was listening to the one on Wednesday, and he had an author and a guy that was supposedly an expert on the NSA, and he was on for 2 hours. And so he said something, and then I emailed it to Paul Craig Roberts, who's an former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
He emailed me back and said, I'd like to share it with you and
please.
See what that is. Well, the guy on George Noory on Wednesday night from 10 to 12, our time, carried on your station, he made the point that Edward Snowden had said nothing that was not prior public knowledge.
Yes, that's absolutely true, because I mentioned, I remember doing this story on KGO many years ago about the sort of the safe house in San Francisco where they were doing all this.
Yeah, so he said, and thus no crime has been committed by Snowden. So
well, except but that overlooks the fact that Snowden has taken an oath not to release, to get his classified clearance, you have to agree not to release certain things. So when Eric Holder says that he will be held accountable, it's very careful that the Attorney General is not using the word prosecuted. He says held accountable. So I'm not sure what that's going to mean ultimately, but the argument that Paul Craig Roberts sent back to you is, adds another layer of interest to all of this.
Well, here's what he sent back to me. I sent that to him.
Right.
And I asked him to comment on
it. Oh, yeah. Okay. So what'd he say?
He said this, as far as I can tell, Binney and Drake had already revealed the information. The only difference, I think, is that Snowden provided documents that proved it. And he
right.
says this, Christine, and this is the kicker right here. The real point is, how can it be a crime to reveal a government crime? If Snowden did not reveal the crime, he would be complicit in the crime.
But then that's assuming that what the government is doing is a crime. And in fact, Congress was aware of it. The FISA court, the Patriot Act had been re-upped again, re-vitiated after all of this. So you may say it's a crime in the moral sense and in the sense of constitutional protections against unreasonable search and seizure, that is a crime against American citizens. But in the true sense of what a crime is legally, because it is approved by Congress, and we elect members of Congress. In other words, the Patriot Act, you'll recall, Americans were aware of it. It was debated in Congress and debated nationally, and it passed again. It was, reinitiated. So I'm not sure, you may say that in the crime in the moral sense, but in terms of whether you could hold a government accountable for a crime in that sense, I don't think you can. Because they have a court. They have this FISA court, which, because it's dealing with issues of national security, has to be, under the covers, so to speak.
Certainly a lot of issues here.
Yes. I'm so confused, and I don't have my computer to confuse me even further.
Anyway, it's nice to have you on the radio. I'll let you get to other callers.
Thank you very much. Okay, the phone number is here at KSCO on the Saturday special, 831-479-1080. Now, the lines are open. Yes, you can actually get in right now. Once again, the number is area code 831, or if you're local, 479-1080 for the Saturday special. MZ is out playing, so the cat's away, the mice will play. I'm happy to be here on KSCO, as I always am. Some other things I want to talk about, and one is, it's Father's Day tomorrow, obviously. And let me just say, throughout the rest of this program, if you want to call in and talk about your dad and say something wonderful about your father, or even not so wonderful, it is Father's Day tomorrow, and I would love to give you that opportunity to send out your happy Father's Day over the airwaves and into the ethers. You can certainly do that. 479-1080. Area code is 831. Colonel Terry, you are on the air. Hello.
Christine, it's delightful to talk to you. You are so intelligent.
Oh, my goodness.
and logical and well-reasoning for a person in your occupation.
What, being a lawyer?
Oh, no, being a broadcaster.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Periodic. And you're a breath of fresh air when I hear you on KGO or elsewhere.
Well, you know what? This next story you're probably not going to love me so much about, but go ahead, say what you want to say. Thank you for the compliments. I appreciate it.
The dials to find you, either filling in for Carell, I believe.
Yeah.
and also here in KSCO.
My pleasure, always.
And I'm so glad that KSCO has gone beyond just right-wing, hyper right-wing, ultra-conservative.
You know what I love about MZ is that he doesn't tell you what to think. I've done some work for another station in the Monterey area, which has a different point of view that wants all super liberal all the time, and unless you say exactly what that person wants, you know, they don't like you. So that's what I like about KGO, certainly in the bygone days, as well as this station.
Well, given my perspective of having worked in three White Houses, albeit as a military officer, and dealt with the Congress, and also long prior when I was young and idealistic, I was a Nader's Raider, okay, in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I care that the good guys and girls win on this planet and elsewhere, and I care that we have a government that's competent and honest and respects the real Constitution and respects, if you will, the value of the future to our civilization.
So what would you do, kind of weighing and balancing security versus...
Well, I have one more point of qualification.
Yeah, okay.
So a descendant of both a signer of the Declaration of Independence as well as veterans of the Revolutionary War, like so, you and the other fellow who called
exactly.
were. So my family takes being honorably patriotic and intelligently informed as a voting citizen seriously.
Yeah, it sure is. It's an obligation, I think, to be as informed, as well up on things as possible, to take it seriously. And in the internet age, if your computer's working, you can be searching all kinds of things as they're watching you.
Yes,
so,
but half our eligible citizens to vote don't vote.
Exactly.
Half of those that do are led to vote against their own interests or manipulated. It's tragic. Well, George Lakoff from Berkeley has wonderful
mm-hmm,
analysis
right.
of the reality of what's occurred and the manipulation of our voters.
Oh, and I'll tell you some great stuff about Jeb Bush, who I think is going to be the Republican nominee in 2016, what he said about immigrant voters or immigrants the other day with a mind to how to get that particular vote, the Latino vote when he runs for president. It's fascinating.
I don't think they can do it, but I don't think we should be adding you don't want to hear my full information on immigration either. I would not immediately encourage more immigration.
Nor would I. And I'm a flaming liberal, but I'm also thinking, what's the value of being an American citizen if you say to people who have come here illegally who have not gone through the proper vetting process, et cetera. In the old days when America needed immigrants, there was a standard. If you came from Ireland or wherever, you had to show that you had someone who was here already, that you had a skill that was marketable, that you could do, you had a family sponsoring you, et cetera. Whenever I hear, and I have nothing against anybody from Mexico or anything like that, but when I hear this idea that folks who've come to the United States illegally, that we had to pass this immigration bill, amnesty, and special treatment. And when I tell you what Jeb Bush said about how immigrants from south of the border make better families, larger families, they create more businesses. And, you know, basically people will say, well, they only work in the fields, and those are jobs Americans don't want. Excuse me, I know lots of folks who are here illegally who are very hard workers, et cetera, et cetera. They want a better life. I get all that. Who wouldn't? But they're doing jobs that Americans most certainly would want, and it's in the construction trades, just starting to revive again, but drywall installers, painters, the demo crews, roof crews. It's not just people working in the fields at jobs Americans supposedly don't want. We got a lot of American citizens, including veterans, who don't get many of the benefits that immigrants get, and that's wrong to me.
No,
so there.
My last point on immigration, our current population trend will take us to 561 million people in 2100.
Too many.
That's exactly too many. And 61% of our population increase in the last 10 years is immigration.
Yes, that's right.
That increase of 61% is illegal or visa stayovers.
Yeah.
Now, in addition to that, would Mexico tolerate 11 million Americans, many of whom don't speak Spanish and many of whom are impoverished with no skills?
Hell no. And you just saw maybe, I think it was a week or so ago, a lawsuit filed, and I get why they're filing it, some Hispanic workers at or Spanish-speaking workers, I should say, at a Whole Foods store who are suing Whole Foods because Whole Foods says, look, if you work in our store, we want you speaking English. Unless there's a customer who speaks your native language and they ask you a question, fine. But Whole Foods standard is, and they're certainly a globally conscious company. They do lots of efforts to get foods from all over the world and to improve working conditions for coffee growers and this and that. It's not that they're opposed to being somebody who doesn't speak English, but in their stores, they want people to speak English. And there's this big flapping lawsuit. Oh, it's violating our rights. Ever heard of the Tower of, is it Babel or Babel? I'm not sure which. Be kind of good if everybody could communicate on some level, don't you think? Is that so awful that a company would do that?
Well, in addition to that, we need the cultural cohesion of everyone speaking English, regardless of where they're from. We also need a national population policy to think about, do we want to be 561 million people, half of whom don't have modern 21st century skills or soon to be 22nd.
And, of course, if anyone were to actually do that or say that in a political campaign, they'd be accused of the other side of favoring infanticide. That would you can't win.
Well, speaking of that, I'm also a former Catholic, and I'm a former Catholic.
Me too. We have so much in common.
Yes, we do. And the damn Catholic Church and the Vatican, if the Vatican wants to deny Latin American women and women worldwide the right of pregnancy prevention, then let the Vatican absorb all the overpopulation it has generated and inflicted on those impoverished countries.
Right on, brother.
Okay, moving to your topic on I don't want to. I hope I'm generating other callers.
You are. There's a full board, so hurry up, Buster. go ahead.
On the topic of government surveillance.
Yeah.
I also know a lot about nuclear weapons, and I also know something about counter espionage, and I know something about the surveillance that's gone on after 9/11.
Right.
Frankly, my dear, what are any of your callers who are flabbergasted that the government is monitoring the airwaves, really the common internet airwaves? What are they going to say when there's a couple of nuclear detonations in large U.S. cities killing tens of millions of
people? Why didn't they protect us better is what they're going to say. And that's the twist on it. You know, so why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do what people are objecting to now? And that's the conundrum, as you know. Thanks. Let's go to Santa Cruz, of course, and talk to Tina. Hi, Tina.
Hi. You were asking what could be the downside of this kind of spying. And one of the problems is that they've also been spying on Congress. And the idea that you have the executive that's supposed to be separate from the legislative body, and the legislative body is supposed to make a vote. But if you have the information as to any hanky-panky done by legislators, that you can call them in and say, vote the way I want you to vote, or else this.
Do you think that's really any different, say, to what happened maybe 100 years ago with a president and a Congress and political parties battling for power, and they found out the Congressman X was having a wild affair with Madame LaFoufou? And,
yeah, but they had to spy and they had to spend the time. Now they just use the arms of the government, and when Congress asked.
But it's the same thing, isn't it, though, that politicians have always sought things to use against each other?
The government and the bureaucracy is different than people. The government is all-powerful. You don't want them doing this. The government spying on you is different than some PI spying on you.
Right, exactly. That's true.
And we've seen it. Congress asked Holder, are you spying on Congress? And he gave a very muffled, I don't think I should discuss this right now.
Can you think of an example of where the government, i.e. the Obama administration, has busted some member of Congress for doing something that was, scandalous?
I was very suspicious that Petraeus gave his testimony that was very pro-administration on Benghazi, and within 2 to 3 days, then the scandal came out about his affair, and then he was dumped. So I get the feeling that they got the testimony they wanted by threatening him, and then they revealed the information anyway and got rid of
him. How do you feel about what Petraeus did, though? I mean, walking through, doing these hearings with his wife at his side, his loyal wife, and winking at the hussy on the side who's in the hearing, too. He's not exactly saintly, let's put it that way.
Yeah, but the Obama administration is hardly saintly either. They're getting rid of all the top generals. They're doing a military purge, and we absolutely don't have any idea why they're doing that. There's been 4 or 5 top generals. Anybody with experience is being kicked out of the military, and when you combine that with Department of Homeland Security arming the way they are with tanks, you know, on top of the
But bullets. You know, it was a Republican president who started Homeland Security. What did you think of it then?
At the time, I trusted the government. I trusted the government less.
but when you think back on it, you're saying, gee, why did I trust him even then? You know, it's really not a partisan thing so much. But, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Here's my other question, though. Has there ever been in the history of mankind any society in which, either currently or in any time in history, whether it's a tribal group or a nation state, where the government was, quote, transparent? I don't think so. Craig in Carmel. I'm so jealous, Craig. I lived in Carmel for many years, and I wish I still did. What do you want to say today on KSCO?
I think one of the questions that you have been asking your callers, what's the difference between a business collecting data and a government collecting data?
Right. In terms of, and it's obviously the government has more power to affect your life than some business does, but a lot of businesses can affect your life in ways you don't realize. And I cited the example of a grocery store with a card club selling information about your purchases to health insurance companies, and you know, and they look through that metadata, whatever, and decide, well, this person has constant allergies, they have a lot of diarrhea,
right,
and so
right.
therefore, you know.
And we have these, you know, these so-called laws that what we call, you know, right to privacy, that supposedly the businesses are supposed to, you know, abide by. But my point is this, and that is, if people don't know the answer to your question, basically, I'm really worried. Because the difference is, with respect to businesses, I usually say businesses are reversible. In other words,
I don't have to keep shopping there, right?
Exactly. And in fact, you can even put them out of business some kind.
But let me ask you this. If you have a debit card or a credit card and you shop at different places, anytime you use that card, they're collecting information on you that you may not realize.
Yes, I understand that. And I think that we as people basically, through our representatives, can basically have our voice heard. How far do we want these businesses to go? With respect to the government, Sue, the government isn't that reversible, as you could see,
mm-hmm.
because of the way people get elected in the system.
Well, so let me ask you, if some of this surveillance, et cetera, and they go to the FISA court, they have something less than probable cause, the FISA court issues a warrant, they then actually listen to the phone calls, actually read what's on your computer, et cetera, and by doing that, they're able to stop, I don't know, a suitcase bomb in Carmel, you would be pleased that they had, right?
Well, it's a much more I'm a little bit different than most people because of my background. I'm willing to take some personal risk for the liberties that
gotcha.
I want.
Okay.
In other words, I don't live in a perfect world, and I think that's what our so-called proletariat has to make a decision.
But aren't you asking our government to be perfect and live up to
a
constitutional standard?
And that's what I'm getting to. That is the crux of the problem. You see, our population today, and maybe before also, but I can only speak to my lifetime, and especially now, what I call the nanny generation that we have today, basically wants to have their cake and eat it too. We want our liberty, but let's say we loosened, we tightened up on the controls over the government, and God forbid some major event takes place. Can you imagine the second guessing that's going to take place?
Of course.
And we need a boogeyman, and who's going to be the boogeyman? Those people that are in power, right?
That's right. You can see the headlines now. You can almost write them while yawning.
Yes. So what I'm saying, basically, and that, Sue, brings me to another point that one of your callers made, and that is, well, these politicians are supposed to remember that they are our servants, in other words. They work for us. And my point, again, to this and addressing it to the public is if you guys are really committed to that particular philosophy that our representatives really work for us, why in the hell do you keep reelecting these same people over and over again?
And the reason they keep reelecting the same people over and over again is because when you have an effective member of Congress, whether it's the House or the Senate, representing your district or your state, and they're back there in Washington bringing home the bacon, so to speak, to you, you want the goodies. And that's just human nature. That's how it works.
And that's the campaign, Sue, I've been on. Basically, I don't blame the government anymore, and I'm not a liberal like you. I dislike Obama. I think he's a liar. He's betrayed even the campaign that he has made. But that's another issue. What I do blame is I blame the people who talk a good game, but when it comes to putting their vote and putting their vote with courage, basically, they still vote for their little insecurity.
Well, right, and they vote for things that make sure their campaign contributors keep sending them that money. And that's true. It's even I was looking at Jackie Speer, whom I admire very much, who really has been quite the dedicated public servant all her life in Congress. But just a few weeks ago, talking about, oh, yes, we must have more of these visas for foreign tech workers because the district that elects her wants that, instead of saying, let's train Americans to do our own, you know, run our own systems and have our own jobs. Why are we bringing tons of people from other countries? Let's look at our own educational faults. Let's limit the numbers of those visas and help American workers directly. No, the campaign funding that goes to her campaigns comes from businesses that want foreign workers. So that's a perfect example of someone who's political career really has been one of public service, but when push comes to shove on that issue, which would be if she didn't get that money, she wouldn't get reelected, how does she come down? It's very disappointing. Rich and Ben Lohman. Hi, Rich. I hope you're aware of the high fire danger today, they're telling us in California. Whenever I think of Ben Lohman, I always think of how beautiful it is and yet how bad fires there are. So how are you today?
I'm okay.
Good.
You know, and earlier you were talking about immigration. You know, I'd like to mention the fact that in Santa Cruz County, one of the things they're talking about is a desalination plant because we're out of water. Well, to me, that's a clear indication that there's too many people here. So,
exactly. Hello? You know, the water's trying to tell us. And then you've got the governor's plan to ship all the water from Northern California to Southern California to make sure that his big campaign contributor, Stuart Resnick, who owns Paramount Farms and grows pistachios and pomegranates, et cetera, and has water interests, make sure that that agribusiness that supports campaigns gets all the water it needs. So if we're saying we don't have enough water, and that is the big fight that's coming up, you know, for the generations to come is the battle over water, I think you're right. I think that's a simple indication. Enough. We have enough people now. Thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing is I was out driving around. That's when I first heard your show, but, you know, it's Saturday morning. Not even 11 o'clock yet, and there's plenty of traffic. And I was in Scotts Valley about 8, and plenty of traffic there. I think there's too many people here.
I agree with you completely. Whenever I'm accosted outside of the supermarket to donate to something for, you know, whatever group that has to do with encouraging more population, I say, no, thank you. Really,
yeah.
I don't want to do that. Well, thanks for the call. All right. The phone number is, let me just, where did I put my phone number? 479-1080, 479-1080. Of course, the area code is 831. It's Father's Day tomorrow. And I've got a question that has to do with holding a barbecue for Dad and why that may not be such a moral thing to do. You're shocked, aren't you? But yeah, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to give you some information about some research, and I'm also going to leave it open. So if you want to call in and dedicated to the one I love, to your dad. I took care of my dad for the last 14 years of his life. He moved here from Santa Barbara and stayed with me at Sacramento. Poor baby, he came up here and thought he was leaving Santa Barbara for Sacramento. Sniff. And then he got here and had a blast. I had a little cottage for my dad to live in. So I adored my father. He died at age 92. And so I miss him horribly on Father's Day, miss my mother on Mother's Day as well. So if you have something you'd like to say while you still can, you never know, send out that message. Just give us a call. We'll put it on the air, 831-479-1080. And then I will raise a specter that some of you will get very angry with me about it, I'm sure. But I have to say it because it raises a great question. Also tell you what Jeb Bush had to say about immigration and other such things coming up in the next hour on the fabulous KSCO in Santa Cruz. I am Christine Kraft, MZ. Michael is away today, and so Rosie called me, asked me if I'd like to do the show, and I said, absolutely, there's nothing I love more. It's just a lot of fun for me, and I hope it is for you as well on the Saturday special. And we'll rock the boat. Right now, let's take a break. We'll come back and do another hour right here on the Saturday special.
A little bit of a hope for liberal reforms. He is a cleric. He is 64 years old. He's a very experienced diplomat, quite charismatic, and also extremely close to the centers of power in Iran.
Rouhani's known for his conciliatory stand in nuclear talks with other nations. In Quetta, Pakistan, a bomb went off on a bus carrying female university students. At least 11 people were killed. Another bomb went off outside a hospital emergency room, killing five. Gunmen took hostages, but they were freed by police after a five-hour standoff. The U.S. government's concerned more classified data may be revealed by the former NSA contractor who ended the secrecy of anti-terror surveillance programs.
Some members of Congress and intelligence veterans believe Edward Snowden's destination choice of Hong Kong could signal possible links to the Chinese government. CBS News senior correspondent and former FBI official John Miller says Snowden's comments about U.S. spying on China could affect extradition efforts.
See, that's the very kind of thing that will complicate the relations and make them say, hey, we might want to look at that stuff before we decide.
Intelligence agencies continue to comb through Snowden's computer access records as the Justice Department prepares charges against the confessed leaker. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Washington.
There may be another option for the treatment of breast cancer. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Duke University researchers, including Dr. Suzanne Wardell, found that a drug approved in Europe to treat osteoporosis stops the growth of breast cancer cells, even those resistant to widely used drugs.
We found that vasodoxazine was actually unique in that it was very effective in antagonizing or blocking the growth of multiple models of breast cancer cells.
The researchers are calling on regulators to allow the use of basodoxifene here in the United States. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Firefighters are in their fourth day of trying to contain the massive wildfire that's consumed nearly 500 homes and killed two people in Colorado. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez in Colorado Springs.
Their goal today really is to just keep increasing their containment, to really keep digging in those fire lines where they make sure, obviously, that the fire is not going to jump over anymore. That's really all they can do right now, is keep an eye on some of those hot spots and make sure that they don't continue to develop into more additional fire.
Thousands are returning to their homes after an evacuation order was lifted in El Paso County. This is CBS News.
Ladies, when was the last time you were happy with your body? If you're like most women, it was before you turned 40. That's because age 40 is when hormonal imbalance starts causing symptoms like hot flashes, sleeplessness, low energy, irritability, and lack of sexual desire. It's not your fault. And you don't have to let these symptoms reduce your quality of life anymore. Because now we have Ambaren. Ambaren is clinically shown to balance hormones and relieve the uncomfortable symptoms of menopause safely and effectively. In fact, Ambaren is so powerful, we promise you'll love your body again. Right now, you can receive a guaranteed risk-free trial of Ambaren with a 30-day supply free. Call now and we'll send it to you today. 1-800-584-9252. And when you call right now, you'll also receive our amazing weight loss program for women over 40, absolutely free. But you have to call now at 1-800-584-9252. That's 1-800-584-9252.
Superman's back in movie theaters, but he's also heading to the Hall of Fame.
Clark Kent is said to hail from Smallville, Kansas. While that town doesn't actually exist, that's still enough to get the Man of Steel inducted into the Kansas Hall of Fame. Also going in,
carry on my wayward son.
Classic Rockers, Kansas, from Topeka, and basketball inventor James Naismith, who popularized the game after coming to the Land of Oz. Plus, the first Kansas Colored Infantry Regiment. It was one of the first all-black bands of soldiers to fight in the Civil War. Will Starrett for CBS News, Kansas City.
Even Google admits the idea is a little wacky. That's why they've called it Project Loon. The company sending up a number of balloons in New Zealand with the goal of getting the entire planet online. The helium-filled balloons beam the internet down to Earth as they sail by. It's a project from the same secretive lab that developed a driverless car and web-surfing eyeglasses. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, rather. You have it tuned into AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville, and AM 840 KMPH Modesto. I'm Dave Michaels with a quick look at traffic and weather for you, as well as a program reminder. We do have Kay's Whirling out in the lobby ready to sign your books. Be sure to stop by our studios here in Santa Cruz, 2300 Portola Drive. Kay's Whirling will be here for at least another hour to sign your books. Also available, your Healthy Start Packs right here at the station. Give me a call at 475-1080 or send an email to dm@kseo.com. Again, pick up your books or your Healthy Start Packs here at the station. Your weather forecast for today is for patchy fog in the morning. Hopefully that has burned off by now. It's just about to do that. Sunny conditions by late afternoon. Highs will be in the lower to mid-70s. Tonight's forecast, patchy fog, cloudy conditions, and lows around 51 degrees. Tomorrow, Father's Day, we're expecting sunny skies by the afternoon and highs around 80 degrees. Tonight's boaters forecast, well, let's start off with this morning's boaters forecast first. West winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, becoming 3 feet in the afternoon. West swells 2 to 4 feet at 7 seconds, along with patchy fog throughout the morning. As far as traffic goes, CHP reporting no major incidents and apparently no major slowdowns. I don't see anything from overhead. If you do see something, though, that we should know about, be sure to give us a call at 475-1080. Coming up next on KSCO, hour number 2 of the Saturday special, filling in for MZ, Christine Kraft.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the
And I am Christine Kraft. My pleasure to sit in for MZ this morning. And you've got Kay in the lobby signing her books. What a day, huh? Right here on KSCO. Give us a call.
But I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
I'm so hot. I am Christine Kraft sitting in for MZ on the Saturday special. And I have to say that as a former longtime surfer and a lifetime swimmer, I was so delighted to see the story. It just cracked me up about the people. If you know anything about this, call in about it too. It's kind of a light topic, but it just reminded me of the kind of things that I used to do when I was young and full of beans. And that was whoever put up that very official looking sign about the shark warning at Pleasure Point, I have the story right, they put it up at Pleasure Point to deter people and told them that they'd be better off to escape the shark by going to Cowles Beach. Are you crazy? And people believed it. I mean, the real surfers didn't. They got it. It was a joke. But it was really classic. It made national news. So if you think that those people were bad culprits or it was a cool, funny thing to do, you can call in and comment about that. I just got such a chuckle about it. Shark alert. As if the shark is going to stay in one part of the ocean. Right. Okay. Hi, Dora in Scotts Valley. You are on KSCO, the Saturday special with Christine Kraft today. How are you?
Hi, Christine. I'm doing well, and I'm appreciating your conversation.
Well, good.
You did make a comment that the anti-abortion folks are not for private rights.
Well, no, they're saying that there are no privacy rights contained in the Constitution. And, of course, the Roe versus Wade decision finds what's called the penumbra of privacy rights. They derive it from a number of things in the Constitution. It's not ever specifically stated if you've studied the Constitution. So, therefore, if you're anti-abortion and you're using the argument that Roe versus Wade is based on faulty law, that there is privacy, you're saying there isn't. There's a problem. There's a disconnect.
I see, yeah, because I had not heard that as an issue, but I haven't followed the whole abortion, anti-abortion thing that closely. But I thought, well, that's interesting.
Yes, in fact, the Roe versus Wade case, the finding in that case, they looked to, there was another case up in Connecticut where in Connecticut it used to be against the law to have contraceptives. And the court threw that one out, saying, well, yes, we have some privacy rights in our bedrooms, whatever. And then there's a whole series of Supreme Court cases in which this this sort of vague thing that's not specifically stated in the Constitution is sort of crafted together a little bit here, a little bit there, a little unreasonable search and seizure aspect to it. But there's no, it doesn't actually say in the Constitution you're entitled to be a queen or a king in your own castle and be have absolute privacy. That's not in it anywhere. So, therefore, if you're opposed to something that's been found constitutional, i.e. abortion rights, and you disagree that there are these privacy rights enumerated in the Constitution, that would be your argument. And, of course, the problem with all of that is in any of our arguments on anything you feel passionate about, there's usually an equal or very strong opposing point of view that can dissect your own argument.
Okay,
Dora, we'll have a lovely day. It sounds like it's going to be just perfect weather, sunny but not too hot, which is good, of course, for the fire danger part. Let's talk to Jan. Hi, you're on KSCO.
Hi, Christine. Yeah, I was thinking about what you were talking about with all this data gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, I think it's terrible because look at our president. He has hidden all of his information from us.
All of his information?
Not all. But, you know, when he was growing up and in college, he hid all of his school papers and stuff, and we still don't know if we have a decent birth certificate, which I don't believe we do. Now, here's a man who's hiding, and he's saying that.
So what do you want to do about it? He's in the middle of he's in his second term now, so what are you going to do about it? Just attack him for his birth certificate?
I'd like to see a real birth certificate.
So if you went to Hawaii and the governor of Hawaii said to you, lady, here's the birth certificate, you would say, no, I'm a birth certificate expert, and I've heard some conspiracy theory that this isn't real, and so I'm going to just... Let's see your birth certificate. You know, so do I, and so does the president. And you're just not going to believe it, even if it was cast in gold. Even if it was cast in gold, you hate this man so much for whatever reason, and you're entitled to your political view and your view. But to focus on the birth certificate is just plain dumb. It's just stupid. Stupid. Hello? There's a real birth certificate. But I want you to continue to believe that it's phony, all right? If it makes you happy. Thanks so much for the call. That's just idiocy. Attack the president for his policy in keeping troops in Afghanistan and ask why. Could be the oil pipeline. Might be an issue. Attack him for all kinds of political decisions that you like or dislike. But the birth certificate thing doesn't hold water. Give it up, okay? He's in his second term now. Get a clue. All right. Joan, hi, in Santa Cruz. You are on KSCO.
Hi,
Joel, I'm sorry. Joel, I apologize.
Okay.
Hi.
So, I was listening last hour, and when you were talking more about the NSA and all that stuff, and I think the main issue for me is the whole reason that the founders of this country wanted to limit government so much is they knew that this would happen, and it doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat or...
Right.
This is the nature of power.
Exactly. It corrupts absolutely, but here's the thing. The founders, of course, had no notion of vast technological advances of the kind we have today. I mean, that wasn't even in the mindset, obviously.
Right.
So it changes the calculus a bit.
It changes it, but the basic principles, I think, are the same. You know, government governs, like Jefferson said, it governs best, it governs least. And on whatever party you're from, Each party grows their own power because you see, I mean, people are saying, well, the Democrats are saying, well, I don't mind it because it's a Democrat in office.
Exactly. You're exactly right to notice this, which is why I deliberately, about 6 or 7 years ago, and I had a board operator at a radio station I was working at in Sacramento, and he said, have you ever thought about just being a declined estate voter? And the more I thought about it, and having been a lifelong, very activist Democrat, I thought, yeah, why not? Let those parties, let them both work hard to get my vote. Let them wonder, keep them guessing, so I'm now a declined estate voter. It's kind of charming. It gives you a little bit of power back, or at least the illusion of same.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. Neither party represents me because they're both wanting to grow this kind of power, and you know, most of us just want to live our lives, and And I think somebody was talking about the difference between business and government, because business will get into your lives, but you have a choice there, and businesses go out of business and if they treat people badly. Government doesn't go out of business if they treat
people badly. But Walmart's still in business, and they treat their employees pretty badly, so I'm not sure that holds, but I think your argument is...
Well, they treat their customers well. I mean,
right, they give them free, cheap stuff from China, yes, and we all wonder why we have these problems. Hello. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Now, hold on, Billy. I'm going to get to you in a minute, Billy. But I want to talk about this, and yes, I've talked about it before, but I want to get this out on the table here as we proceed through the program, because Father's Day is tomorrow. Once again, if you like your dad and you want to say something to your dad, send it out on the airwaves. Happy Father's Day. You can. But here's the story. You planning a barbecue for dad tomorrow? Because, I mean, a lot of people are. It's barbecue season, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to suggest to you that having that barbecue, particularly if it's red meat, doesn't really matter. It could be red meat, chicken, whatever, any kind of animal flesh that you're planning on cooking on the old barbecue. It may not be a moral thing to have. It may not be, I said it right, a moral thing to have a barbecue for dad to celebrate Father's Day. Why? It's because the information is already out there, much like the NSA spying. The information on this one comes from the University of California in San Francisco, from UCSF. Big study. And the results have been out for quite some time, but they have solid evidence. You know, these are not dinky scientists. These are top flight people at UCSF. They looked at over 1,000 people, followed them for 10 years, and men, specifically men, because this was about not just prostate cancer, which, you know, women fear breast cancer, men fear prostate, and the one that gets you is lung and whatever other ones. But we do. That's just the way it is. And there are different types, much like any kind of cancer. Say if someone has breast cancer, well, which type do you have? We saw that story recently with Angelina Jolie, who had a particular gene problem, which meant that her risk of both breast and uterine cancer were extremely high. She had her breasts removed very bravely, and is going to continue with the various body parts removal so that she has a chance to live for her children. Her mother died of that cancer. In any event, so we learned that there are different types of breast cancers, right? It's not all one kind. If you get prostate cancer, there are many different types of prostate cancer. Some of them, like some breast cancers as well, but the breast cancer industry won't tell you this. Over 1.5 million women were needlessly burned, cut, poisoned, and they never needed any of that because the cancers they had were of a specific type that would have stayed in situ inside the brain, inside the breast. Brain, breast, same thing, and never would have killed them. Okay, prostate cancer, if you have, I mean, my dad had prostate cancer surgery in his 80s, and the doctor said, okay, we've got that, it's cancer, but it's a type that probably never would have killed him. It would have been something else. He died at 92. However, there are aggressive forms, and not in a good way, aggressive forms of prostate cancer that will kill you, that are very hard to stop. And so we get that prostate cancer diagnosis. It's like, doctor, which one do I have? That's what you really want to know. So the researchers at UCSF found that there is a solid evidence of a link between those nasty aggressive prostate cancers and meat consumption, particularly meat cooked at high heat, when it's well done, or when it's barbecued. So what they did was they looked at diets, etc., and they made this positive link between grilled meat and aggressive prostate cancer. All right? And they looked at each type of cooking method, and they said, well, men would be safer if they ate meat that was, you know, rare or medium. Not even if you're just ordering in a restaurant, don't have it cooked. If it's well done, it produces these chemicals, indeed, which will increase your rate of getting a very, very aggressive form of prostate cancer. It increases your rate by about 34% to 50%, doubles the chances of getting a very nasty, aggressive prostate cancer. So I get it. I know that the steak smells good, and they said ground meat is the worst. I guess because there's no more surface area for these particular compounds at high heat to form, compounds that cause mutagenic changes in your cells, essentially cause prostate tumors. So I appreciate the smell. I appreciate the tradition. I appreciate the ritual. I've done it all. You know, Dad was a chief barbecue and it was fun and it smells great, et cetera, et cetera. I don't eat that stuff anymore, but I get the tradition of it, the bonding of it, the smell of burning flesh. I mean, I appreciate that it's fun. And that it's, you know, Dad wants to have the barbecue because, you know, let's have a steak. I just had a friend who stayed with me for almost a month, and he is currently not working, TV cameraman at a very big station in a very big city. In any event, someone I'd worked with for many years, and he was down on his luck. He had lost his apartment, and he got a nasty attack of cellulitis, in which both of his legs were swollen out. I mean, just horrible. It's the worst case I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of it as a doing disability and workers' comp law of people who get this. And there was a point where they contemplated, because he had arterial blockages, amputating the legs. So they didn't do that. He came and stayed with me for almost a month, and I fed. He's a guy who doesn't eat vegetables, doesn't eat fruit. You can't make him, except I did. That's the only food I gave him, right? I went out, and I had a wonderful friend at that same television station in San Francisco who donated some money for some really good organic food, and I fed him well despite his angst about it. And I said, you are what you eat, and you've got blockages, you've got a tendency to get this cellulitis, which, you know, you don't want your legs amputated. You know what he did when he went out with a mutual friend of ours who took him out to a hospital visit for some rewraps of the bandaging and stuff? They snuck around and thought it was so cute and had a big steak, which will further clog the arteries. I'm not talking so much about artery clogging here. I'm talking about cooking meat, hamburgers, steaks, even chicken at high heat, and how that is going to greatly increase your chances of getting a nasty, and it's a terrible way to die, aggressive prostate cancer. So my question to you is holding a barbecue for Dad a loving, positive thing, or because we now know better, we know what the effects are? And I suppose you could say, well, if you only had it once in a while, well, clearly having it once in a while is better than having it frequently. But we're heading it. Summer starts, what, tomorrow, right? Or soon here, a couple days? Yeah, 21st, I think, summer starts. And it's barbecue season, barbecues galore. There's even an ad running, I heard, on a radio station for a medical group, a hospital in the Bay Area, holding a men's health weekend in which they're going to have clinics on everything, how to avoid heart attacks, how to avoid prostate cancer, with an emphasis on diet, what you are, what you eat, etc. And then they're having a luncheon for all these men, and they're featuring a barbecue. Wait a minute. What a disconnect. Are you trying to get more patients? Is that the deal? Have you not read the UCSF study? So do we pay attention to these things and what? Decide, yeah, you're going to take a moderate path. You're still a meat eater, so you're going to have and so we had a caller who talked about the nanny state, so you don't want to hear this perhaps. But don't we have an obligation, at least to Dad, if we know this information about mutagenic changes in the cells, cancer, aggressive form of prostate cancer that comes about, increases your risk exponentially if you eat barbecued meat. Are you going to have a barbecue for Dad tomorrow? Is it moral to have a barbecue for Dad if you know that information? It also affects women, increases breast cancer and colon cancer rates if you eat barbecue. What? How often? You know, often enough. So 831 is the area code, 479-1080. Is it moral to have a barbecue on Daddy's Day for Dad, knowing what you know about how it will increase his risk for getting an aggressive prostate cancer? I get the smells, how lovely it is. You know, Dad with the apron and, you know, high heat. Oh, look at that flame causing these compounds in the food that you eat. So I don't want to be a nanny and tell you you can't do it because I have no jurisdiction over you. And if my poor Dad, if he were still alive and he said, honey, all I really want is a barbecued steak, I would make it for him. I mean, I really would if he wanted it that much at that age, you know, what the heck. But what do you think? Please weigh in on this. I know you're probably at the market getting your little rewards or special club cards and thinking it's great. And look, they're offering you a discount on that barbecued meat today because it's Father's Day. 831-479-1080. I'd love your thoughts on that one. Now that we know, do we have an obligation to sort of act on it? If you say you really love your Dad, you probably wouldn't be doing the barbecue. And, of course, he'd probably be mad. You don't want him to see him upset. But you might look it up. Just Google because they're watching anything everywhere. Look up meat, or look up barbecue meat prostate UCSF. If you Google that, you can pull up all the stories, all the research about cooking meat at high heat, particularly barbecue, and how it increases your risk for an aggressive, nasty, virtually incurable prostate cancer. Not very lovely. So is it moral to make that for Dad? I will take your calls on that subject. Some of you are probably not going to comment about that. I'll take your calls about the shark posting at Pleasure Point, which I thought was hysterical. Whoever did that, it's really very, very funny. And some would say, well, it's mean. It's trying to keep the tourists away from. Well, yeah, that's exactly the idea. I'm not sure how well it worked, because any real surfer would understand if there's a shark there, the shark can swim and can go to any beach, indeed. And I wanted to tell you what Jeb Bush said. Let's go back to our immigration topic for just a minute. That is Jeb Bush. I believe Jeb Bush will be the Republican nominee in 2016. I've always said that Jeb Bush will run for president, not because I'm sort of a brilliant seer, but because the Bush family always thought Jeb would be the one. He's the smarter brother. It wasn't Neil. It wasn't George W. They were kind of appalled when George W. managed to parlay the governorship of Texas into the presidency. But Jeb Bush was their golden boy. Well, he's older now. And he gave a speech the other day at a conservative conference that's called the Faith and Freedom Coalition Conference. And he said that, here's a quote, and I want to know what you think of it. Immigrants create far more businesses than native-born Americans. Well, there goes the native-born vote for you, Jeb. He said, immigrants are more fertile. Really, they're more fertile. And that's a good thing in a world that's overpopulated. It's a good thing if you're trying to get votes, isn't it? Immigrants are more fertile, and they love families, and they have more intact families, and they bring a younger population. Immigrants create an engine of economic prosperity. Do you agree with Jeb Bush vis-a-vis immigration that we need more people whose families don't break up and they have tons of babies? Well, why would they? They're not more fertile. And he, I think, is speaking specifically of immigrants from south of the border. Jeb Bush has a Hispanic wife. His kids, the Bush family calls the little brown ones, because they are the spawn of Jeb and his brown-skinned wife. He wants those votes in 2016. There's no reason. I'm absolutely sure he's going to be the candidate. Absolutely sure. Well, not absolutely, but I think pretty much. 831-479-1080. Is he just stupid when he says immigrants are more fertile? There's no difference in fertility. You know, reproducing is the oldest trick in the world. It's been done forever. And it's not fertility, it's higher birth rate. And why do they have a higher birth rate? Well, typically, if they're evangelicals from Eastern Europe, like Ukraine and far, far Eastern Europe, Ukraine, Russia, et cetera, and they're evangelical Christians, it's because their religion tells them that the women are vessels for reproduction. It's kind of like the Catholic thing. You got to have huge families. And the women have no rights. They're utterly second-class citizens. If their husbands beat them up, they're quiet. A lot of sex trafficking, all of that. They have no say in anything. It's the Pope telling you, you know, you're there, you're a vessel to reproduce. They don't think they have any divorce rights or rights to leave or any of that. So that's why they have more intact families. That doesn't imply that the families are happier, better adjusted, or anything else. But this idea that immigrants are more fertile and therefore we need to have more of them, and that, more startling, this idea that immigrants create more businesses than native-born Americans, so let's let them immigrants create the jobs and have the jobs, as opposed to native-born Americans. What a put-down of native-born Americans, don't you think? Anybody question whether or not Jeb Bush is going to be the nominee? I think he is. 831, and I know it's far out. It's 2016, really far out. A lot of stuff can happen between now and then. I think Hillary will be the next president, but I think Jeb Bush will be a tough contender for her in that race. 831-479-1080. And Billy, I'm sorry I made you wait so long, my darling. What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
Well, Christine, as the number one go-to, you know, fill-in, you're hard to listen to sometimes. Hearing about the meat again is killing me. Oh, jeez. But, you know, there is nothing better than the burnt end of briskets.
Well, if you like aggressive prostate cancer, enjoy.
Well, no, I don't. But on the other hand, something's got to kill us all. You know?
Okay, well, I mean, and that's true. It's like saying, well, if I have nothing to hide, what do I care? If something's going to kill me, it might as well be that. You know, frankly, I'd rather have a very quick myocardial infarction than a battle with a nasty,
yeah,
aggressive,
well,
cancer, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you rather go quickly as opposed to a long, drawn-out, hideous cancer death? Do you know what happens when you have prostate cancer, how you die?
What I want, of course, is the information, so I just get to make the choice. That's what I want.
Exactly. And that's all I'm putting out there, but I'm saying
I want Monsanto to go away so
that's
they
right.
don't want me to know what's in my food.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I want. Yeah.
You just want to know, and then if you want to make that decision, that's your
exactly.
choice.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what science
So but do. Once you know the information and you're a loving daughter or son of a dad and you know that it's going to increase his chances of getting an aggressive prostate cancer to feed him barbecue, is it moral to have that barbecue?
Whatever he wants is what's moral once he knows the truth.
Okay, so you would tell him and then say, here, have some steak.
Yep. I'd say I tell him and then I say, what do you want?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So a little while ago you said, like, well, there aren't any heroes left. And I think, yeah, there are heroes. The people who adopt pets who are old and infirm, those people are heroes, certainly.
And a shout-out to my wonderful friend Lisa Carter at the Santa Cruz SPCA, who facilitates all kinds of things like that and does marvelous work. They're going to be building a new building soon, and boy, do they deserve it. Also,
absolutely.
Muttville in San Francisco, which rescues only elderly animals that are, maybe the owner dies or whatever. Actually, Billy, I have a little individual. I'll call myself heroic then because you've said it. But right at my side right now, sound asleep, is a little baby dog, a puppy who was, and I can't go into the specifics because there's a criminal case against the person who did this, but let's just say she's recovering well. And
wasn't cared for properly. And
well, no, it was more than that. It was a real hideous physical abuse. Anyway, she's here and fine.
Yeah.
Her name is Bean.
On a couple of the other things we covered, MZ never told me what to say either when I was on the air. Although he did fire me because when it was time to go to war with Iraq because I was so unrelentingly correct about Iraq and Bush and all of that. But you gave the impression that Hal tells you what to say on the air.
He doesn't tell me at all what to say. I don't work for him anymore.
No, but did he ever actually try to tell you what to say?
Oh, yeah. He was upset because do not think Bradley Manning is a hero. I don't think a man who threatens his stepmother with a knife is a hero. I don't think a man who indeed slapped another soldier, a female soldier, and had to be sat upon by others is a hero. I don't think he's a hero in what he's done. And I dared to say so, but that's not part of the progressive meme, you know? And I also think progressive is a silly word. If you're a liberal, just say so.
I'm a liberal.
Okay. All right. And happy Father's Day, too. Enjoy that brisket butt, Billy. As always, it's good to talk to you. I am Christine Kraft. The phone number is 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. Bill in Watsonville, it's your turn. You're out on deck. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I think that the Bible sums up the comment that Jeb Bush made best in 2 Timothy 2:6. It says that the man spoke as a dumbass.
Or Dumas.
Yes. Well, you see, God's word always has the right answers. People just need to look at it.
Yeah, there you go. So Jeb, yeah, exactly. It's funny. I had a client once, and I was working with another lawyer on this case. And the name was Dumas, but this client, and I'm not giving the first name, still never know, but it was a very, very difficult client. We would tell him things, you know, don't do this, don't do that, you know, blah, 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 you should know such and such. And, of course, everything you'd tell him about, he would do the exact opposite. So we came in our private conversations to refer to him as Mr. Dumbass. Thanks for the – yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Dumbass is definitely not going to get my vote, but I'm remembering back to when he allowed that young lady to death by the hospital. I will never forget that.
Right, because they were just sure that, it was terrible. We couldn't – it was Terry something, Shivo. And the husband wanted – said the husband said, we had this conversation many times. If I'm not able to have any quality of life, I don't want to be maintained artificially. And then the family, we're praying to Jesus. We know she's okay. She finally died. And of course, there were all kinds of appearances with the likes of Jeb Bush, who were standing up for life down there. Yes, by golly. And then the woman died, and they did an autopsy on her and dissected the brain, which was absolute mush. So thank you so much for that, Jeb Bush. Good job. Let's talk to Tom. Hi, Tom. You are on KSCO. Good morning.
Hey, Christy.
Yeah.
You know, I am generally on the conservative side of politics,
mm-hmm.
But I listen to both sides on every time that I can.
That's smart.
I'm 61-year-old, and I'm open-minded, and you're making a lot of sense to me here today. And I just wanted to admit that.
Well, I'm pretty liberal on some things that would drive you nuts, probably, but I'm also a gun-owning liberal. So, and have, I guess, enough years under my belt, so to speak, and enough experience in the world, both as a reporter, an anchor, as a lawyer, et cetera, to have reached some conclusions about things. And the older you get, the more the filters go away. And I'm not anybody's absolute partisan on anything. I think I'm like most Americans. I'm a little more liberal than most, but on some things, for example, gun ownership, that's an enumerated right in the Bill of Rights. And I get very upset when I hear people talking about these automatic weapons when they don't even know what an automatic weapon is. That's very irritating for me. So,
exactly. I totally agree with that. But I just wanted to mention to you that you're pulling me over to the liberal side of my mind.
Well, you can explore that cavern for a while. You know, what the heck?
And I do a good Ronald Reagan imitation and so on and so forth, and a lot of imitations and so on, you know, for fun. You know,
yeah, sure.
Like that. Different political people, you know, well, I don't know what it is.
And you know who did that best of everybody? It was so funny because I knew him when he first started in radio. We worked at the same station ultimately in Sacramento, and that was Rush Limbaugh. People say, oh, you liked Rush. I said, he was hysterically funny. He had nothing to do with his point of view at the time, especially when he first started, but he was so funny. He would do all these voice things on various politicians, poking, you know, liberals, obviously, poking fun at their weaknesses, but he did it in a very, very funny way. And, you know, so, and he was also a very nice person and very much the gentleman. And it was only in later years, I think, when he got very powerful and very rich, that he became less likable, in my view. But I liked him for his talent, not his point of view. Thanks for the call. All right. The phone number here at KSCO. Isn't anybody going to call in and say, Happy Father's Day? This is your big chance, live on the radio, going out into the broadcast ethers, which are go out way out into space forevermore. It'll always be out there. I love you, Daddy. I miss you. You can do that. 831-479-1080. Open lines right now. Yes, we're finally got some open lines, so you can call in and get on. I want to tell you about another Republican. I don't mean to appear to be attacking all Republicans, because I'm not. Some of my nicest people I know are Republican and true conservatives, more or less, who are appalled at what's happening to their party, by the way. But here's a Republican who makes George W. Bush look smart. He's the current governor of Texas. That's right. George W. Bush's former job. This is Rick Perry. And he was at an event a couple days ago, Thursday, and it was the Merry Christmas bill that he signed. And this is a bill which means that teachers can say Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah, so because they're trying to take the Christ out of Christmas. And so I guess in Rick Perry's Christian world, Jesus had a Christmas tree and Santa was right next to him. They're hanging out because, you know, he thinks that Santa Claus and Christmas trees have to do with Jesus in some way. In any event, a Christmas tree, of course, is a pagan symbol originally, and something meant to cheer up people in the middle of winter, in the dismal season. You bring in some branch and you put sparkly things on it, and that's the Christmas tree. But anyway, signing this bill because here's what he said. It's what he said. It's what they say that's always so interesting. Here's the quote. He's at the State Capitol building in Austin before signing HB 308, this Merry Christmas tree bill. And he said, religious freedom does not mean freedom from religion. I guess Mr. Perry is either just not very well read or too dim-witted to understand the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. That's okay. That's the Bill of Rights. You know, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution are the Bill of Rights. He apparently never read it because government's not supposed to have any role in establishing, either prohibiting or establishing. You know, it's the duality of it that makes it so terrific. And absolutely, you do have, do you not have religious freedom to not believe in imaginary deities? Now, I was raised a Catholic, so I was pretty much impressed with all of those things. And there are absolutely times, perhaps when I don't forget all of that, that it's kind of instinctual. Like, oh, Jesus, really help me with this poor animal that's hideously abused and may not live. Yes, oh, you did, terrific. But I'm always struck by the people who say, and we're praying to God for health and so-and-so. And then something terrible happens and they kind of forget about God, or the players in the end zone praying to Jesus to pummel the opponent and win and then they lose. So, and then what do you do? Blame Jesus and blame God? I don't know. But don't you have the religious freedom in this country to be an atheist if you so choose, or an agnostic? Don't you have the ability to be free from religion? Absolutely. So Rick Perry is another one of these. He's just not the brightest bulb, okay? He's just dumber than a tree stump. Religious freedom does not mean freedom from religion. The bill that he signed will allow public schools to display scenes and symbols of traditional winter holidays. That's what the bill says. Why don't you just say Christmas then? Traditional winter holiday, okay? So this is what one of these Republicans, one of the ones who ran for president, thinks that religious freedom does not mean freedom from religion, which implies the U.S. Constitution specifically forbids government preference of one religion over another, the establishment of religion. And so the Merry Christmas Bill, if only by its name, seems to defy that principle. It does. It's probably not constitutional. But I don't object. I love Christmas. I love all the stuff that goes along with Christmas. Who doesn't? But you're not allowed to be an atheist? That you're not protected by the First Amendment if you don't believe in religion? Nonsense, Governor Perry. Absolute gobbledygook. Now, here's something that will get our Obama opponents and that silly woman. There's no birth certificate. I'm just sure. You could put a solid gold birth certificate in front of her nose and she wouldn't believe it. Barack Obama could cure cancer and she would not take it. So fine. That's okay. But I think there are many things the president, any president, can be scrutinized for and criticized for. And I'm not sure if this is one of them, but I kind of feel that maybe it's not the right idea. What am I talking about? I am Christine Kraft, and I am talking about the Obama Africa trip. The president and his family are supposed to, you know, the whole tribe, and that would be mom, dad, the two charming girls, and I guess the mother-in-law, who knows, a whole bunch of people, are planning a week-long visit to Africa. And it starts June 26th, and it's going to cost the taxpayers of this country up to $100 million. Do you think our interests in Africa, I mean, I want our president and first family to be able to do global diplomacy by going to different parts of the world and to be, because they represent the United States. I think that's great, but we're in a time where we have the sequester in effect. All kinds of things are canceled, 10% across the board budget cuts, including a budget cuts to the Secret Service. The Secret Service would have to send over close to 60 agents. And the cost is expected to run the federal government between $80 million and $100 million. The White House says, hey, we didn't come up with that number. The Secret Service, they're the ones who decide how many agents they need. But don't act all surprised, White House. You know that if you're going to the foreign country with the wife, the kids, the whole bunch, you're going to need extreme protection. Africa, a lot of parts of Africa that are, shall we say, less than stable. They're going to Senegal, which is a lovely beach town, Tanzania, and it's going to cost $100 million. Now, why would we need to do that? Why would in a time of fiscal problems, would it be wise to spend $100 million to go to Africa? Can anybody either say that's a good idea or object to it, or tell me what our interests are in Africa? Now, the phone number is 831, that's the area code, 479-1080, 479-1080, KSCO Santa Cruz. And let's see what Justin has to say about it. Hi, Justin. You're in Salinas this morning. How are you?
I'm good. I was just calling in about something. I was calling about the Rick Perry thing.
Okay, please.
But then you said something that was so offensive that I couldn't even believe.
Oh, good. What did I say?
You referred to the Obama family as a tribe.
No, I
didn't.
You
would never. Yeah, you did. You said he's taking the whole tribe.
Okay, that is. You might want to look that up on Google. That is a common use of speech. My family, my tribe, my family, your family, your tribe. Okay.
If you can't hear the sarcasm in my voice, then.
Oh, okay. I see. It's sarcastic. I get you.
You would never refer to a white family as a tribe. You know, you're.
I wouldn't.
No.
And that's sarcastic too.
Yeah, well, you know, there's probably plenty of people out there freaking out right now. It's probably going to be on CNN that you're a racist. But anyway,
the
Rick Perry thing, I am surprised that you're so offended by that because I don't really think that Rick Perry is trying to say that you can't not be religious. I think that, you know, a lot of people in this country that are religious are fed up with people making giant ordeals about simple little, you know, religious symbolism. And I don't think, you know.
Well, I mean, if you need to put your religious symbolism, whatever it is, out, whether it's Judaism or Islam or Christianity, if you need to do that in the public place, which would be a public school, that's the problem. I would suggest you go to a religious school. You know, that's fine. You can pray anytime you want.
I agree with that as well, but I think there's a lot of organizations in this country right now that are, you know, that raise the issue when it's not always public. Like if someone puts, you know, if there's a private organization that puts, you know, whatever they want to put out, they want to have it taken down, or they file lawsuits, or the ACLU comes down and says you can't put that out, and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, and I think everybody just feels like the next step is, you know, all of a sudden nobody can, you know,
right. I mean, and I get that fear, but it's sort of silly. I mean, the Supreme Court has made it very clear that church and state are separate in a whole slew of opinions. And in the public school and in the public forum, there's no place for it. When people insist on having a Jesus banner at a football game at a public school, you know, there's kind of an issue with that. So maybe nobody sues over it. Maybe somebody does.
Do you really think it's that big of a deal, though, to put, like, what, at the White House, they had a Christmas tree, nobody said anything about it. At the Capitol building, they have a giant Christmas tree.
What does a Christmas tree have to do with Jesus?
Well, there's...
Did Jesus have a decor store, and he sold, you know...
No, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, but there's, you know, thousands of people in the United States that are so outraged by that, it's ridiculous. Like, it just makes their blood boil.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a Christmas tree at the White House. It doesn't make any sense. Like you said, it's a Christmas tree. It's not a religious, you know, thing. So why are all these atheists so outraged by a Christmas tree?
I'm not sure that I think if it's a public display and it's only the Christmas tree, typically with the creche beneath it with baby Jesus, and it gets stolen and the kids steal it, you know, that same old story that's gone on forever, and that there are no other symbols for the season, i.e. a Hanukkah. And the courts have said you can't just favor one religion. All of that, though, because, I mean, that Christmas tree usually does come with a creche. They're usually kind of side by side. So if you're going to show baby Jesus, you probably should show a menorah. You should probably show the Kwanzaa thing and, you know, have some sense that there are different religions. But atheists have just as many rights to not believe as somebody who believes in, you know, basically people who believe in God and in Jesus. And you may have periods of your life where you're more or less believing or absolutely not believing or doubting or whatever. You're entitled not to believe in imaginary beings. Faith is the belief in things you can't prove.
I mean, I agree with you. I just think that people are so sensitive nowadays about every little thing. They just need to get over it. I mean, it really isn't that big of a deal. Like, you know, and if you really want to look at the history of our 200 years of our country, I mean, there is a tradition of that type of stuff happening. And just because someone that's not religious doesn't like it, then, I mean, does it really encroach on their beliefs?
I imagine you'd have to put yourself in the shoes of someone who profoundly, believes in the idea of a secular state, a non-religious state. in other words, a state that's not run by a state-run religion, et cetera, and feels that that is just as fundamental a right as, I don't know, privacy, what we talked about in the first hour. And maybe they send their kids to public school. I don't know if you saw this. There's a funny interview that Wolf Blitzer did after this hurricane in Oklahoma, and he went up to this woman, and her child's clinging to her, and the family dog is there, and they've survived. And he said to her, well, I guess you were praying to be helped, and you must be thanking God today. And she said, well, no, actually, I'm an atheist. It was the most live interview. It was hysterical. It was so funny. And he kind of sputtered. He didn't know what to say, as if that point of view is something that's rare. And actually, agnosticism and atheism has been growing. People have been abandoning religion because they see how religion is just basically another form of politics, isn't it?
No, I agree. All right, well, I'll let somebody else on there. Thanks.
Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. And it's often asked, could somebody run for president who dared to declare, I don't believe in imaginary gods and goddesses. I don't believe in a big daddy in the clouds who sits up there with a big, deep voice and rules things. I know that many of you do, and you have the perfect right to believe in those things. And I understand that the state likes religion because religion keeps people in little patterns of behavior, supposedly. Except the divorce rate is, what, 60%? I think, anyway, you know, of church marriages. It creates a more stable community to have people all believe in the same kind of do this, do that super being. But, so if you have faith and you believe these things, I wonder about that disconnect when you pray for something and instead of getting it, the worst possible thing happens. And you've prayed to God, please save the life of Susie. And Susie croaks and has a horrible death. Do you say to God, well, wait a minute, you're all-knowing and all-powerful. How did that happen? Oh, no, well, it's God's way. Well, then why pray? So, I mean, I really, as I say, I was raised a Catholic, imbued with all of that stuff as a child. Remember getting my first holy, ripping communion with my little veil and holding my missal, Mother of Pearl, with a gold cross on the front and sitting in front of the priest. And the priest put the host on my tongue. And I so believed everything the nuns had told us that, you know, would be infused with the Spirit of God at that moment. I so believed it. And I stood there, knelt there with the host on my tongue, and it's melting in my mouth, and I'm waiting for the golden burst of energy here. So, and when nothing happened, I kept my eyes closed, I kept kneeling, and the priest had to say, go back to your pew, sotto voce, under his breath. Don and Salinas, you are on KSCO. Good morning.
Hi, yeah. Say what you will about old Rick Perry in Texas, but I'll take him over Jerry Brown any day of the week.
And tell me why.
I don't know about you. Look at what's happening in Texas and look at what's happening in California. Jerry Brown's throwing billions of dollars into an imaginary high-speed rail.
Ooh, let's talk about that. It's Fresno to Madera. Do you know why they're doing that? It seems so silly at first, but then when you think about the eminent domain rights, it's going to be a whole heck of a lot cheaper with that 65, what is it, I don't know how many billions of dollars it is, whole lot cheaper to build that, or 65-mile piece between Madera and Fresno, because the eminent domain rights will be a lot cheaper, as opposed to doing it someplace that more. The whole idea originally was a high-speed rail train, San Francisco, L.A. You know.
Well, not only that, but it's too hot and it's too hickish for the environmentalists to go camp out and whine about it.
Well, you're
so they
right.
Can actually build it out there, yeah.
I don't know if you do. There's a lot of terrific people who live out there, so I wouldn't call them hicks necessarily. But it's not. They're not the urbane. It's hot as hell. You're absolutely right.
All right. The urbane people would call them hicks. Okay, the
yes,
San
exactly.
Would call them hicks.
Yes,
but also,
would.
You know, you're saying that you have a right not to believe in imaginary beings. I agree with you. That's why I would never vote for Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton, the great leader, is an imaginary being. And just as much as the
oh, come on,
Obama,
what do you mean?
Great president is. Well, okay.
And remember, let me just give you a little background of my particular advocacy. I was a big Hillary fan in the 2008 run-up to the election. They both got the same number of primary votes from the voters. It was the Democratic Party superdelegates who decided, let's put the black man in before the woman. Okay, that was the decision that was made. And I thought people, Barack Obama is bright, et cetera, but don't think of him as a messiah. Please, he is no messiah. And, of course, he would have told you that himself, but people wanted to think that. Anyway, so what is imaginary about Hillary?
Okay, what is Hillary's record as a senator? She carpetbagged her way into New York. She was given a Senate seat and then just sat there for the whole time.
Oh, anybody who goes to Yale Law School is not a carpetbagger. New York is a common fertile ground. She was also the first lady of the entire country. So they bought a house in New York. So what's that? She was reelected as a senator. You forget that, perhaps. Isn't that up to the voters of the state of New York? They clearly liked Hillary Clinton a lot and reelected her.
That's why they elected her there. She couldn't have got elected in Arkansas, where she spent most of her life. So she had to carpetbag her way to New York. Now, also, name me her greatest accomplishment as Secretary of State.
Her greatest accomplishment as Secretary of State? Osama bin Laden.
She authored no trade agreement. She initiated no trade agreements the whole time she was Secretary of State. Any trade agreements that were signed were initiated before she ever took the office.
Osama bin Laden. Yes.
Oh, so now Hillary parachuted into Islamabad and shot him.
No, but the Obama administration, where the Secretary
Leon
of State...
Leon Panetta got bin Laden.
Okay, all right. So you want to say that Hillary Clinton had no knowledge of that, and that's why she was sitting in the room watching all of that come down. She had no understanding of the State Department operatives who were part and parcel of that. You're saying that didn't exist. And I can see you're not going to vote for Hillary, so you're going to get Jeb Bush. Good luck. Thanks for the call. The phone number is 831-479-1080. We got a couple minutes to go. Jim in Santa Cruz, hi, you're on the radio.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Excellent. I just wanted to say we need to outlaw the gays.
And how would you do that? That was his big thing. He would be very upset to hear about Kristen Beck. I've been talking with Kristen Beck. Do you know who Kristen Beck is? You might want to Google that up, fellow who wants to outlaw the gays, who apparently is, doesn't realize all the gays that are around him or her, whatever. But look up Kristen Beck. Kristen Beck was a Navy SEAL for 20 years. Kristen Beck is not gay. Kristen Beck used to be Christopher Beck. You might want to look that up, Navy SEAL, the bravest of the brave. Next caller. Up next is Howard. Hi, Howard. Wrap it up for us.
Hi, Kristen. I was listening to your thing about about religion in school, religion in the courts, religion in places, public mm-hmm. places. I'm Jewish, and it just irritates me about everybody assuming that Christianity is just obvious and everybody should believe it.
Exactly. And what about all of our? For example, if you're Jewish, you don't believe in hell, right?
Well, I don't believe in a lot of the Christian concepts, but that's not the point. The point is this: listen, when you have Christian symbols and they say, well, of course you have to have Christian symbols around. It's just it's American, right? But imagine you wait until you see up in Detroit where they have a large Muslim population. When some judge gets elected who's a Muslim and starts putting Muslim symbols around, you wait and see what kind of outrage the Christian community is gonna put up.
Well, of course,
for people putting up Muslim symbols, because it really irritates them.
And what they don't understand, perhaps, is that Islam, and particularly the Quran, mentions Jesus more than it mentions Muhammad, and mentions Jesus as a great prophet. They very much respected Jesus Christ, and most Christians have no idea of that, unlike the Jews, who saw him as a nice Jewish carpenter.
He was a rabbi.
Yeah, yeah. So.
They called him rabbi, but that's not the point. Is that they have this built-in huge bias, saying, "Oh well, Christianity, of course, that's okay."
It's a conflation of patriotism with Christianity, and it's just wrong.
Yeah, and it's irritating. And I'll tell you what, it makes me and probably many like me feel like an outsider.
That's right, and that's ridiculous. So that's why it matters, people, because we had the former caller who said, yeah, I don't make a big deal of it, and I got his point, but yours is the perfect counter to it, and I thank you for calling. 1 minute to go. Only one more minute on KSCO. I always enjoy it. I always thank Michael and Rosie and Kay and everybody for asking me to fill in, and I hope I'll get the chance again. I am playing the lotto, so if I win, I'll get to move back to Monterey, Santa Cruz area for what remains of my active days in the year ahead. It's going to be a very interesting year. And Prism, going to go out now to try to find myself a new desktop computer. I know they're obsolete, but one that doesn't have Windows 8. Wish me luck, everybody. I think I'll try Costco. I don't want to go on a Saturday. It's packed with people at Costco on a Saturday. A cheap one, you know, with no Windows 8, because you've all told me not to do that. So wish me luck, and then I'll be able. It's very strange. As I said, I started the show telling you how naked I felt now that I had a dead computer. And my tendency right now would be to go on the computer, look at Facebook, do all these things, see what my friends are doing. And I can't do it. I'm going to have to eat food and photograph it and not send it anywhere. And I've never done that. And I don't intend to. Thanks so much, everybody. See you in the future. It's KSCO.
That's all, folks.
Of incineration and destruction that took place in some areas.
An evacuation order lifted in El Paso County. Thousands of residents can now go home. Celebrations are underway in Iran after a moderate was elected the new president. Al Jazeera English reporter Soraya Lenny in Tehran.
Well, nobody had predicted a couple of weeks ago that this would be the result of this election, that Hassan Rouhani would get such a large percentage of the vote. As you had mentioned before, the five other candidates combined didn't even get the same amount of votes as Mr. Rouhani did. Now, we've been out tonight. We've been talking to his supporters. Tehran is in party mode, I suppose you could say. His supporters are out in the street, or the highways are full of cars, bumper to bumper. I think you can probably hear some of them right now. People seem to be celebrating into the night.
Authorities in Turkey are cracking down on demonstrations that have been going on for days in the capital. Riot police used tear gas and water cannons on demonstrators today who've been ordered to leave Taksim Square and a neighboring park. Reporter Steve Dorsey in Istanbul.
We've seen some protesters flee Taksim Square and Gezi Park. We've also seen a number of people injured, along with several ambulances that have taken them to nearby hospitals. So far, it's unclear the extent of their injuries and exactly how they were injured.
Surface-to-air missiles are not likely to be on the list, but the Obama administration is sending military aid to Syrian rebels. Free Syrian Army General Salim Idris hopes it soon.
I hope them to send it to now. You know, we are in most need for weapons and ammunition.
The family of the Minneapolis man identified as a Nazi SS commander by the Associated Press is denying the charge.
My father was never a Nazi.
A defiant Andrei Karkosh defending his 94-year-old father, accused of being a Nazi SS commander in German-occupied Poland and Ukraine during World War II.
Our family will give the Associated Press an opportunity to retract and withdraw their sensationalistic and scandalous allegations.
Karkosh says the family needs time to look at the documents and interview the witnesses themselves. Chris Simon for CBS News, Minneapolis.
A tsunami alert declared after a 6.5 earthquake struck off the Pacific coast of Nicaragua. This is CBS News.
You see and hear ad after ad about owning gold, but they raise more questions than they answer. That's why American Bullion has created a comprehensive free gold guide packed with unbiased information about gold as an investment. Get the facts before you buy. Call American Bullion now for your free copy of the gold guide at 800-716-6878. That's 800-716-6878. Are you tired of stressing out about the economy and ready to take control of your retirement funds? American Bullion has a precise, tax-free, and hassle-free system to convert your existing IRA or 401k former 401k into a gold IRA. That's why they're the leader in gold IRA rollovers. It's all spelled out in the free American Bullion Gold Guide that answers all of your questions in plain and simple English. Call for your free copy today at 800-716-6878. 800-716-6878. American Bullion. 800-716-6878.
A royal tribute to the Queen.
The Trooping of the Color. 1,000 British soldiers in ceremonial red coats and bearskin helmets parading for 87-year-old Queen Elizabeth on her official birthday. She's already celebrated her real one.
By the center!
The monarch viewed the synchronized splendor from a raised platform. Not by her side, husband Prince Philip, still recovering from surgery, but Prince William and Catherine were there. It's her last public engagement until the royal baby arrives next month. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
An IG report concludes West Point's top official misused his position and resources. The heavily redacted report obtained by the AP says Lieutenant General David Huntoon allowed subordinates to give driving lessons to an unidentified person, didn't properly compensate people who worked at a charity event, and misused his position to get help feeding somebody's cat. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Good morning, everyone. You've got it tuned into AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz. It is Saturday, June 15th, 2013. I'm Dave Michaels with traffic and weather for you. We're going to start off with an overhead view of Highway 17. Looks like speeds in the southbound direction slow moving from Camden Avenue to Vasona Park. Just after that, speeds will pick up gradually, but right around the 85 connector, you should expect stop-and-go traffic. That's in the southbound direction of Highway 17. Northbound Highway 1, slow-moving from Aptos all the way into Santa Cruz. Around Aptos, you're doing about 40 miles per hour. Things will slow down more and more, slowing down mostly as you approach 41st Avenue. Speeds down to about 30 miles per hour from there to La Fonda. Just after La Fonda, northbound speeds will pick up. Highway 1 looking good through Watsonville. Both northbound and southbound, all the way down into Monterey, you're going to find no problems along Highway 1. 101, a slightly different story. We do have a slowdown. This is in or near Chittenden Road. Southbound 101, looks like speeds are just about stop and go as you approach San Juan Bautista.